Welcome to Super Talk, the podcast that scratches your superhero itch. Just two suburban dads nerding out over superhero stuff on the small screen and the big. Buckle up, people. Enjoy the ride.
Welcome to Super Talk, the weekly podcast dedicated to news and reviews of comic book media on the big and small screen. This is episode number 28. I'm your host, Brian Professor Pettis, and with me, as always, is my illustrious co-host, Titanium, Tony Estrella. Titanium, it is here. The fabled double review episode is here.
Yes, we've been promising the fans, and we're going to deliver today.
I don't know how much space you got left on that computer.
A whole lot.
We got a lot to talk about. We've got a big show for the fans. We've got our review of the Black Widow movie.
We're going to dissect the Black Widow, and we're going to get into Black Widow.
And then we've got a review of the Loki finale, which you and I just finished watching.
Yep.
Several minutes ago.
Boy, do I got a lot of questions.
And, man, that was a mind-blowing episode.
It really was.
And we'll get into that.
Yep.
But before we do, we always want to start by thanking our sponsor, Studio GG Studios. Home of the Man Bank, Corn on the Cob. Thank you for everything you do for us, Studio G, and we want to return it back to you. So all of you listeners out there, please give them a like, give them a favorite, go visit their YouTube page, show them some love because they continue to show us love, and they got a lot of cool stuff going on right now.
Yeah,
right?
Lip Smacking is their new hit, their new video.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
Hang on, that's the name of their new hit?
That's the name of their new hit. Lip Smacking. Lip Smacking. Go to Studio GG Studios. Check out Lip Smacking and enjoy. It's a show. It's an absolute show. Studio GG Studios, Home of the Man Band, Corn of the Cob. Good stuff. I mean, I guarantee you will enjoy Lip Smacking, their latest video. I told you about the Aaron Rodgers last episode. Not Aaron Rodgers. That's the quarterback of the Green Bay Packers. for the lead singer of Stained.
Some Aaron Lewis?
Aaron Lewis. Yeah, they did a cover of Aaron Lewis, and it's awesome. It's gotten a huge amount of traffic. So check out Studio GG Studios.
I saw that last week, but then it's been a while since I first hold my head
Professor
up
Brian Pettis with the chops on the mic.
And we also want to thank our new sponsor. We're sporting the swag of BSB. BSB, the lifestyle brand, BSB, big, sweet, effing bass that Titanium was catching on the lake. Bringing sexy back, whatever you want to call it. It's a lifestyle brand, BSB. The way you support these guys is go to bsbswag.com. Check out all their merchandise. They've got these awesome hats that Titanium and I are sporting today.
Yeah, cool stuff. Great swag.
Great shirts. Go check them out. I mean, they're really
shirts are awesome.
They're really trying to be a little disruptive in the lifestyle brand.
They sure are. Yeah, right. They're breaking in new ground, and their workout stuff's amazing. It's just good stuff, high quality stuff. So check them out, bsbswag.com.
Yeah, please go visit them. And then we also want to thank the listeners who bring the show to you, and those are our patrons.
Absolutely. Love those guys.
Patreon.com/supertalk is how you support the show directly. It only costs $1 episode, guys. I mean, I'm shocked that all of you haven't done this already. It's $1 per episode. And, you know, frankly, if you want to do it for like a week or two and then back out, you can. That's how easy it is. Patreon.com/supertalk. Thank you to those of the listeners who have already done this. And again, all the support you guys give us, we're going to give right back to you. So thank you so much.
It really helps us out, Professor. It really kind of ties some
loose ends. Yeah, we got it. In 2 weeks, we're doing a big giveaway to anybody who's a patron. So if you ever thought about giving us $1, now would be the time because we're going to definitely be giving it back to everybody who's on the patron list.
Episode 30, right?
Episode 30, yeah. Two episodes. Yeah.
And then in August, we're going to do a little road show, but that's top secret.
Which we're going to announce on episode 30.
Nice.
Yeah. All right. Well, without further
ado.
Let's start with Black Widow. So you and I venture out to the movie theater.
Yeah.
We brave the COVID-19 variants and everything, and we said we're gonna screw it all.
Yeah,
we're going to the theaters. We're gonna watch Black Widow in its 16:9, glory, and we're gonna get all the Dolby surround sound in the movie theaters and grab some popcorn and sodas and just watch it.
Yeah.
And
it was awesome. It felt really good to be in the theater watching that kind of big Marvel blockbuster kind of film. It was great. You know, I wouldn't call the theater
crowded, but I would call it busy.
It was busy. You're right. It was not crowded. No, it was not the show we saw, at least.
It wasn't full, but there were people there. There was a lot of people there. So what I'll say, you know, maybe half full, and you know, it
a little more than half, but yeah, right. It wasn't full.
No, by no means. But I was just so happy to be in the theater again.
It was great. What a great movie to see on the big screen.
This is a year.
Yeah.
That we've been waiting to see. Over a year. Was it last May, right?
It was supposed to come out in May. Mm-hmm.
So we've been waiting for 14 months for this movie to come out.
May 2020. Yep.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
And we finally got it.
Yeah.
All right. I want to hear you. I remember talking to you about it a little bit when we walked out of theater. You just loved it. You thought it was great. You thought it was fantastic.
I thought it was absolutely great. I thought the action was unbelievable. Like from start to finish, you sit down in that chair and every, you know, the slow parts, if there are any slow parts, are very minimal. And the action starts off and it just keeps compounding. The action just keeps going and going and going. And I thought it was great. It was one of the most action-packed Marvel movies that I've seen. Just a great, imagine like Infinity War fight. Probably not that extensive, but not like Endgame fight, but that kind of action sequence, like boom, 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 boom. I thought it was great. Is it in my top 10? No. Is it in my top 15? Yes.
Really?
Yeah, I do. Great backstory. I thought it was clever the way they gave you, Natasha's backstory and how she became a widow. I think that was long due for that character to develop and finish that character arc for her. I really enjoyed it. Your thoughts?
I was not as happy with it as you were. And I think a lot of that had to do with the delays.
Yeah.
Every one of those action sequences, you're talking about how they were great. Every single one of them we had seen. We had seen the fight with Taskmaster on the bridge. We had seen the parachute. We're parachuting out of the thin air and falling to earth, and we're sliding on stuff. We've seen that fight scene. We had seen the fight scene of her fighting all the other Black Widows. We had seen, you know, Yelena Belova and Natasha fighting against each other in the apartment building. We've seen it all.
We've seen it all in clips and in trailers, right?
Not fully, okay. Right. Right, but right. My point is...
Well, explain, because you're like, we've seen it in other movies. It's not other movies, right?
No. It was just all the trailers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And again,
the fact that they had to release those to keep people enticed. Yeah.
14 months.
Yeah.
14 months of delays. They promoted this movie very heavily right before COVID hit, and then they had to stop that promotion. They delayed it twice last year. It was, hey, it's coming in July. Hey, it's coming in October. No, we're going to wait till next year.
Yeah.
And so they kept ramping that promotion back up every time they thought it was going to come into the theaters, and they had to slow it down again.
Yeah.
And
they'd release a little nugget every time. So we saw a lot.
We saw a lot.
Yeah.
And I can't help but feel that a lot of those action sequences that you thought were fantastic, which they were, I'd seen so many clips from them. And it was like, okay, maybe the fill's in the front and the back of it, but I've already seen the middle.
Yeah.
So I was a little disappointed in that there was really very little of the plot left unknown or left unseen. And they left a few Easter eggs out there or a few kind of unhidden things that they didn't do. But I will say that this is probably one of my least favorite Marvel movies.
Wow.
Really. I would put it in my bottom five easily.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And
disagree,
this is no,
professor.
This is no slight against Scarlett Johansson. I think she's played that character fantastic, and I think she did in this movie as well. I think one of the best parts of this movie was the introduction of Yelena Belova, and Florence Pugh did a great job with that role,
The
comedic relief that she brought to that role,
yeah.
And that was the best. Like, we were talking about that, her like funny little quips about the poses that Scarlett Johansson would do, and she would land on the ground. I mean, that was hysterical, and she was really kind of funny.
Yeah.
And I thought she did great.
Yeah. Great, great comedic chops.
Oh, for sure.
The Red Guardian stole the show. Alexi.
He did very well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought he was hilarious.
I thought, you know, some of the backstory of, you know, how he and what was the, who did, what's her name? The mother or the pseudo mother.
Melinda
were the manufactured mother and father of this family that was placed.
The sleeper cell
in the United States from Russian government. I thought that whole backstory was great. And I thought the way they set it up, and here's how they got, you know, they come back to, they finally escape and they land in Cuba and the two girls get taken away and taken to the Red Room. Boom. Yeah. I mean, you know, and then ultimately find out that Natasha is able to leave the Red Room, but to do so, she'd been recruited by Nick Fury and S.H.I.E.L.D., but to do so, she had to kill Dracoff's daughter.
Well, Dracoff himself.
Dracoff, yeah. But Dracoff's daughter was kind of like, you know, she put a bomb in Dracoff's daughter's backpack.
Yeah, she was collateral damage, she
collateral
said.
Collateral damage, right?
But to get out, she was so desperate to get out that if that was what she needed to do to get out, that's what she was going to do.
Yeah, I thought that was all great. Yeah. That was that whole backstory.
Great backstory.
Backstory is fantastic.
Yeah.
Making Dracoff the big bad of the movie. Okay.
For her, he kind of was. I mean, he's been her nemesis forever. He's the one that put her in the Red Room. Loki mentions in Avengers 1, Loki mentions, her red, that much
the
red
on
her
ledger.
Yeah.
Right, right.
Dracoff's daughter. He actually says Dracoff's daughter. So he knows everything, and that's, I guess, from Barton. When he mind screwed with Barton, he got all that information. But you didn't
find it odd that there's has been or are hundreds of widows out there in the world that we've never heard of or never seen?
Well, we knew that there was a network of widows that Natasha was probably one of the greatest, the best, the leader of them, but. Yeah, I thought, remember, Natasha's been out of that scene for a very long time.
Right.
So he's had plenty of time. Like they said, they've gone through hundreds and hundreds of girls. One out of every 20 might make it. He kills the rest of them, and he keeps recruiting new girls to put in the Red Room and turn into widows. So,
what'd you think of the treatment of the Taskmaster character?
It's different from the comics for sure, right?
Wildly different.
It was a guy named Michael something, right?
So no, I can't Tony. Remember.
Was it?
Because her name's
right,
Antonio.
Antonio. Yeah.
And yes, his name is.
You know what? I'm okay with it.
Tony Masters is the guy's name.
Taskmaster. That's right. Interesting. But I was okay with it. I didn't mind it. They've changed a lot. They've kind of blended a lot of comic book characters into making a character to develop the story.
But that was the big reveal. And spoiler alert for those of you who haven't seen the movie yet, the big reveal was that.
Yeah, I'll mark this as spoiler on YouTube so we don't get in trouble.
Yeah, the big reveal was that Taskmaster, we'd seen in the trailers many, many times, ends up being Antonia, Dracoff's daughter, who Natasha thought she killed.
Yeah.
But she was able to make it through the fire or the bomb, which is unbelievable.
Yeah.
She had a bomb strapped to her backpack and she made it through it. And
when the bomb goes off, she goes and gets the whole, if I've watched it several times, the whole floor was rigged to implode and to blow up. It wasn't just in her backpack, but she gets something in her backpack and then she goes to Dracoff. She runs towards him. And then Barton says, Natasha, are we clear? And she says, yeah, we're clear. And then the bomb goes off. I thought that was interesting. You know, I didn't mind it. I thought it's a great
But that was a big reveal.
It was a huge reveal.
The twist was that Taskmaster is not only a woman, a female, but it's Dracoff's daughter who he's genetically
enhanced
and put a chip in the back of her head so she can
mimic
the moves of all these
fighting
other people,
styles,
right?
Yeah, the fighting styles of people that she watches. It's like
and the big reveal in the whole movie was that Dracoff had mastered this mind control technique that was originally developed by S.H.I.E.L.D./Hydra. What they said was it was stolen. So the reason why Natasha's family was in the United States was to steal secrets from S.H.I.E.L.D., which they found out was actually Hydra at the time.
Right.
That had infiltrated S.H.I.E.L.D., but they had developed this mind control technique that allowed them to genetically mind control people. They could basically take control of people's minds and make them do whatever they wanted to.
Chemically mind control people. Yeah. And that's what he was doing with all the widows. Yeah.
And there,
take
and there's
away their free will.
Right. And there's this antidote that was found very early on in the movie, which we thought in the previews and the trailers, it was like a super soldier serum for the Black Widows, but it wasn't. It ended up becoming an antidote. And anybody who's exposed to the antidote, the mind control was lifted. And that's how Yelena Belova was originally freed from her the control that they had over her.
Yeah, one of the older widows, had developed it secretly and used it on her to free her from the mind control, which was interesting, and ultimately freed Taskmaster, which was Antonia. At the end of the movie. So yeah. I thought it was a good story. I mean, it was a great backstory. It kind of closed the loop. It closed the loop on Dracoff's sister, daughter, how Natasha, that was part of one of her worst things that she did. And it kind of gave her a little bit of closure on that, finding out that she was still alive and redeem herself by breaking her free from that. And even Antonia at the end was like, you know, is he gone? That was the most important thing, was not what you did to me, or I forgive you, or I'm still mad at you, or anything like that. Is he gone? Because she really saw the evil of her father.
So how do you feel about the whole treatment of Budapest? Or as she says, Budapest. So they teased it, you know, Hawkeye and Black Widow tease it in the Avengers movie of, you know, this reminds me of Budapest. Yeah. And when they're in Endgame and they're going to Vormir in the spaceship, she's like, this is a long way from Budapest. And then in this movie, they hide out in the air conditioning unit to escape Taskmaster. This is where, you know, Clint and I spent 2 days hiding out, you know, when we were doing our mission here. So they alluded to this big, massive thing that was going on in Budapest.
Yeah.
And all we saw was this potential explosion.
All we saw, but she did explain that it was it took them 10 days to get out of Hungary, and it took them, and 2 days of it were battling Hungarian special forces had attacked them. So she said she made allusions to a huge battle that her and Clint battled Hungarian forces for 2 days and hung out for 10 days. And I believe that's where they built that kind of relationship.
I just would have loved to see a flashback,
more of that,
or have, you know, Jeremy Renner show up as Hawkeye and then have showing some of that.
Well, he kind
of
did.
It's just like, well, not really. But, I mean, I just would have liked to see some of that. I mean, they made a big deal about that in several Avengers movies. And it just, that was the payoff, was a 30-second clip of her sitting in a car and saying, yes, we're a go.
Yeah,
that was Budapest, you know, and I just expected to see a little bit more in a flashback, I mean, closing that loop a little bit.
Well, the safe house with the arrows in the wall, they made reference to.
But what are those arrows from? Him hunting her or
the tic-tac-toe and the hangman up in the air conditioning unit that they were hiding out in, where they spent 2 days hiding there. You know, they made a lot of assumptions for, I guess, the viewer to come up with their own beliefs on what Budapest was like. But not a whole lot of answers about that, but it did tie back to Budapest and what happened in there, how their relationship built and how they both see it very differently. I get what you're saying, though. It would have been nice to see more of what really happened during those 10 days and the 2 days of battling the Hungarian special forces. So when
they decided to make this movie, and again, the stories that I've heard are that Kevin Feige always wanted to do a Black Widow movie way earlier, but he really didn't have control at the time. All the way through, I believe, Captain America: Civil War, he was kind of still answering to Disney executives who were in charge of Marvel Studios. And after that, they made him in charge of Marvel Studios, and he had free reign. So that's when we see things after Captain America: Civil War just kind of go crazy. And that's what, because previously he wasn't even able to make the Black Panther movie, which he wanted to make. And then he made that after the fact. So the rumors are that he wanted to make a Black Widow movie. He wanted to give Scarlett her own movie way earlier, but he wasn't given clearance to do so. And then now that he had to do a retroactive movie or kind of a historical movie, yeah. just like we did with First Avenger or Captain America, of, hey, here's Black Widow's backstory. Sorry it's a few years late, but yeah. we're giving it to you now.
And he squeezed it in between Civil War and Infinity War.
Yeah, the timeline. Right, yeah, that's where it would have been, right? Yeah. A lot of other weird things I found kind of like inconsistent, you know, this friend that Natasha has that all of a sudden can just get whatever he wants, you know, yeah,
where did that come from? That was like, kind of random.
Nobody we've ever seen or heard of ever before.
You want my theory on that? I think they casted him to make people think that he was going to be the Taskmaster.
Okay.
You
think he was cast in a role so that we would ultimately believe that he was the one playing Taskmaster.
You didn't see him in any of the trailers. They never talked about what he was or who he was playing or his character name. They just said that that guy from the, what is it called? The Wives Tales? What's that thing called? I can't remember. He's on some wacky show. The Handmaid's Tales.
Oh, Handmaid's Tales.
Yeah, he's the husband of the main character. Yeah, it's an awful show. Don't watch it. It's very stressful. But anyway, I think it's misdirection. Marvel's misdirection. I think they put a big time actor in the show and,
yeah, but like even at the end, you know, he's like getting your generator doesn't work. I mean, anyway, we go through this whole, and then at the end of the movie, see what you can do when you give me a little bit of time and money. And he ends up getting her a Quinjet. And I'm like, okay, well that's the way they're explaining how she and Cap have a Quinjet to fly around on in Infinity War.
Yeah.
But this guy's the guy to get that? I mean, it just
they introduce him? Are they going to bring him back in future movies?
No. Maybe. He's a one and done.
Maybe.
Yeah.
He could be a supplier for Yolanda.
He's not he who remains. He's gone. Yeah, and true. Will never be back again.
We'll see. But, hey, they also introduced who's going to be carrying the Black Widow torch or the Widow torch moving forward, and I thought that was brilliant.
We assume, right? Yelena Belova, and again, you know, Florence Pugh just completely
crushed it.
Yeah. Great, she did great in the role. I think she played the little sister very well. I think she, you know, again has some comedic chops, and I think that the lightheartedness of her in that role was great. And I can't wait to see where they're going with it. Now, the big surprise, and I think the big pleasant surprise that we got at the end of the movie was the post-credit scene with her and Val. So she ends up visiting Natasha's grave in Ohio, which had been placed there after Endgame when she never came back. They created a grave for her, and she's visiting and taking care of the grave. And Val ends up showing up. And, you know, people forget, you know, Val, who we saw in Falcon and Winter Soldier, the character of Valentina was supposed to originally be introduced in Black Widow. And we would have ultimately then seen her again in Falcon and Winter Soldier when she recruited.
I heard that was the original
US
scene.
Agent.
It was original cut. They didn't change any of that.
Didn't change anything. So Julia Louise Dreyfus would have originally been in this movie and then showed up again in Falcon and Winter Soldier when she recruited US Agent. So, but the end credit scene here was great. Really kind of, and the big reveal was that Val kind of points Yelena Belova at the person responsible for Black Widow's death.
Not really, but
being Hawkeye. Now, no question. How does she know that he was responsible? Was she on Vormir?
Well, I think the debriefing of that whole extent of what happened, she might have had access to of all that information, but who knows, right?
But the big
the fact
reveal
that she's
is
working with her already, and it's been
she
an
has
agent.
Been working for her and been doing jobs for Valentina somehow, doing some kind of jobs. But here's the big thing: we know now that Black Widow, Yelena Belova version of Black Widow, is going to be in the Hawkeye series on Disney Plus.
That's already been announced. We know she's going to be on there.
And that we did not know that before this this series or before this movie aired.
Yeah,
and they confirmed it after the movie dropped.
Yeah, it's on IMDb.
Yeah, yeah,
it's all over the place. So yeah, that's interesting. So we know she's going to be in there.
And that's going to be a huge part of the plot. Is you know, Hawkeye and who's the Haley Steinfeld playing the character is
the new Hawkeye.
Yeah, I can't remember the name of the
Kate Bishop.
Uh huh. So the two of them may be spending a lot of episodes running from Yelena Belova, who's hunting them.
Yeah, right? I also heard the Track Star Mafia is in that movie, so I thought that was going to be the big bad. But this is a great curveball. I mean, you're right; it could be based all about that. I don't know. I can't say her name. Yolanda?
Yelena Belova?
Yolanda?
Yelena?
Yelena?
Yelena.
Yelena. If Yelena is... is she willingly working for Val, knowing that Val is doing some back channel shit? I mean, we don't know if Val is bad or not, but does it open the door up for...
Thunderbolts? That's the big question, right? Is Valentina working for somebody?
We know Ross is involved because he was in the Black Widow.
Ross,
mm-hmm.
Is that who she's working for? And are they setting up kind of a future Thunderbolts? Yeah. And by the way, he looked terrible.
He looked
worse than he did in Endgame.
Okay, so in the one of the trailers, wasn't he a lot younger?
I don't know if they were like going way, way back in time in the trailers, but you know, they made a joke of that. Is this like your third, you know, cardiac bypass or whatever?
Yeah, and he was on a cane, walking on a cane in the very beginning of Black Widow when she kind of tricked them. They thought that she was in one of the train stations in the bathroom and she was watching them, and it made the viewer feel that they were, you know, coming down on her position, and it was just a tracker in her suit that she had left in the train station, but she was on some boat to Norway or Greenland or something like that. So I thought that was great. That was a great twist. But yeah, he looked kind of weird, and he looked kind of weird after that, like when they were, you know, closing in on the position of her when she called them originally. So I think they're setting up the Thunderbolts. I think Val works for Thunderbolt Ross. That would be very cool. I do like her though. I like Florence Pugh. I think she really stole the show. And some would say that this was her movie, not Scarlett Johansson's.
Yeah, I just found it weird though. They made William Hurt look very strange in this movie. And to your point, I don't know if they were originally trying to make him look younger because it was further back in time, but you know, we saw William Hurt in Endgame.
Well, Civil War, he was in Civil War.
Then we saw him in Endgame.
Yeah,
you know, Infinity War, when they brought
Infinity War,
and this is supposed to happen before that, and he looks terrible.
Yeah,
I mean, that was just strange.
I don't know. I could have sworn that in one of the trailers they gave him that young
anti-aging CGI thing. Yeah, I don't know.
I didn't see that several times.
Yeah, so again, look, I was so happy to be in the theater, so happy to just be watching a Marvel movie in the theaters. And to your point, the action scenes, it was all Marvel. It was all action all the time. It was fantastic to be there. I'm just glad we got over it, because now we can move forward with the movies we know are coming, like Shang-Chi and Eternals and Spider-Man No Way Home, and we're over the hump.
Yeah,
was the movie that was delayed the longest, and we're now done.
Yes, and they introduced some key characters, I think, which was important. Some great characters. One of the things I didn't like about it is the fact that the team of widows took the Red Guardian and Melinda and Taskmaster away. What happened to them? I guarantee you we're going to see them in the future. I think they're going to bring some of them people back. That was one thing that bothered me. Number two was what you mentioned, the guy. I think he was a complete throw off to to throw fans off.
Because they'd shown him at Comic-Con.
Yes.
Brought him on stage.
Yes.
He's playing an undisclosed role.
Correct. I think they did that so that everybody would theorize that he was Taskmaster and he wasn't. He was a third or secondary character at best. That bothered me. Those are the two things that bothered me. No answer to that. And also, number three that bothered me is the mom, Melinda. I forget the actress's name. She's a great actress. I thought she did a pretty good job. Good comedic chops. But
Rachel Weisz.
Rachel, yes. She was in a movie with...
she was in Constantine with...
Keanu Reeves?
Keanu Reeves.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, she was in that movie.
That's right.
She's been in a ton of things, but yes.
Yeah,
she's
Robin
great.
Williams. She was in a movie with Robin Williams that was just heartbreaking, heart-wrenching. Forget the name of the movie.
The World According to Garp?
No, not that one. It was where she had committed suicide and he was in this other dimension trying to pull her out of the darkness. It was weird, but it was just heart-wrenching. Anyway,
yeah, she's
a great actress.
She's a bit of a smoke show.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Older smoke show, like a cougar smoke show. So
you mean like our age smoke show, basically?
Well, yeah, I mean, cougar. Right? Yeah. I still think that she had how does she all of a sudden turn good? You know, all of a
sudden. You're right. That's what I also because like the whole time they go to her farm.
Yeah, and she's working on this.
She's like, hey, you know, I called. I'm the one who developed the mind control techniques, and I called the Red Room, and they're coming to get you.
Yeah,
and then all of a sudden.
She's helping them.
I'm like, why would you call the Red Room if you're going to like ultimately help them?
Yeah.
Well, it's before we had dinner and talked about our family.
Yeah.
Sorry, Thanos.
He's fine. Yeah, that's something that bothered me. So those three main points that bothered me. But once again, for me, and I know you're not in that same boat, for me, the good outweighed the bad in this. The introduction of characters, comedic relief by the Red Guardian. I thought they kind of maybe missed the mark there. They could have made him more of a powerhouse, but as a simple, he even says, I'm a simple man. I was the muscle.
What about his like allusions to his fights with Captain America?
All lies, all made up.
Made it up, yeah. Lies and stuff like that?
Yeah, prison stories to make himself bigger than what he was.
Okay.
That was kind of funny.
Did he talk about me? Captain America, did he talk about me?
Are you kidding me? You haven't seen us in 20 years and all you want to talk about is you?
Right.
That was hilarious. Yeah. I thought he was a great comic relief. He's good. I can't wait for Stranger Things 4. But yeah, that was my take on the bad, but the good of introducing her as the new, holding the torch, bringing Widow back into it.
I think if I watch it again, which I will, I'll like it a little more. I just was like, man, you know, after 14 months, I was like, okay, I'm glad we got it.
Yeah.
But now let's go. Let's go.
Yeah.
Like, give me Shang-Chi. I'm like ready. I'm ready for the next movie. Give it to me.
So funny you mentioned that because you said something very critical. You said that because of this delay of so many times and the nuggets that kept throwing at us, and the clips that they kept throwing at us basically gave us a lot of those action scenes already. They really didn't do that with Eternals. So I'm wondering if maybe they're holding back on Eternal clips because they made that mistake with Black Widow, giving us way too much instead of letting us be more surprised in the theater. I'm hoping. My fingers are crossed. Again, that movie was something that I was so stoked for. And then once I saw the trailer...
And it's not like they could have done it because... That movie, the Eternals movie, was supposed to be out last
November.
Mm-hmm. So it was already done.
Yeah.
Like, literally, you talk to the actors and actresses that filmed that movie. They're like, oh, my God, we did that so long ago.
Like, Shang-Chi.
Shang-Chi was filmed afterwards. And it was supposed to come out after. It was supposed to come out this spring.
Yeah.
So that was supposed to be the spring March movie for Marvel.
Yeah, but still done filming for quite some time. That's why the actors were like, release it.
And
release
you know
some
what? And I think they realized, I think you're making a great point. Titanium. I think they realized they got themselves in a promotional kind of loop.
Yes.
With Black Widow they couldn't get out of.
Right.
We're releasing it. Here's some trailers. Oh, we're pulling it back. We're releasing it. Here's some trailers. We're pulling it back. And they didn't. So they didn't. We didn't get anything for the Eternals or Shang-Chi until like a month ago.
Yeah.
And I like that.
Yeah, me too.
I think once Shang-Chi comes out in July.
Yeah.
I mean, in September. I think they're going to full bore start the promotion for Eternals.
I hope so. I hope you're right. But, you got to keep the awareness and you got to keep the anticipation and, you know, some excitement for that movie. And a year delay is a long time for Black Widow. So I think they did the best they could, but you're right. I think it dulled it a lot and gave us more than what we needed to see. Anyway.
All right.
That's it. Black Widow.
Well, we'll tie that one up in a bow. Yes, it's worth a watch again.
Yeah.
I mean, the worst Marvel movie on the list of Marvel movies is still worth watching. I mean, and I've watched the worst Marvel movie on the list 5 times probably. So I will probably watch this movie 5 times.
Thor Dark World.
Yeah, it's either that or Ant-Man and the Wasp. One of those two. Yeah.
Don't say that. That's not even nice, Professor.
Yeah.
You're just being mean and hateful now.
Well, that's...
Ant-Man and the Wasp was a great movie. One of the best smoke shows in the MCU is in that movie.
All right, well, let's get into the other exciting news for the day, and that's...
Loki!
The series finale of Loki, episode 6, just dropped this morning, or 3 a.m. Eastern time, if you want to be official about
it. Shit, I just watched it, so...
Yeah. Man, you know what? As far as action goes, zero. Like, very little action in this episode at all. I mean, man, call a little bit of action, but...
That fight scene between him and Sylvie was pretty cool, but... You're right. No,
wow,
action.
the answers and the East, like everything we were hoping they would do, they did. Like,
yeah.
There was nothing that I could say, oh my gosh, they didn't answer that. They didn't tell us. They gave us, they basically said, open up your mouth. We're going to spoon feed you with a garden hose and we're going to turn it on full bore.
Yeah.
And, you know, strap in because you're going to be asking all kinds of questions about what the hell's going on.
Yeah.
Unfortunately,
that's what a lot of people are doing, and I'm worried about that. And I've talked several people off the ledge, say, stick with it. It's important for Phase 4. You need to know what happens in Loki to understand Phase 4. It's all about, you know, Doctor Strange, the Multiverse of Madness. It's all about Spider-Man, No Way Home. It's all about Ant-Man, the Quantumanium. The next several movies, except for Eternals, and I believe Shang-Chi will be about this.
And here's the reason why. Because those two movies were filmed way before the Loki series was filmed.
Yeah.
Those two movies would have been released before we ever got Loki.
Yeah.
So Loki was always on the slate for kind of this spring.
Yeah.
And so we would have watched Shang-Chi in March timeframe before Loki even came out.
Yeah.
So remember that the two new movies that we're getting from Marvel, the next two movies we're getting from Marvel, have absolutely nothing to do with everything they're putting in place for that Loki put in place for Phase 4.
Yeah.
Everything after that, all up for grabs.
Yeah.
And they, wow, made a huge, huge statement and said, not only are we making major introductions of characters that we're going to have in the next several Marvel movies, but we're going to make some, you know, plot points that are going to be carrying on through several Marvel movies as well. This episode, totally, I mean, I was so pleasantly surprised of not only did they do what we hoped they were going to do,
yeah,
but they were willing to take a gamble on a Disney Plus series setting up movies that we're going to see for the next year and a half.
It was a huge, it was a keystone in building this Phase 4 monument that they're building, and you're absolutely correct. And this is what makes me nervous about this, though, and I've had several...
Titanium.
It's still my favorite Disney Plus series. I would say it goes Loki, WandaVision, and Falcon and Winter Soldier. Falcon and Winter Soldier was great, don't get me wrong. It was your traditional, but the pandemic, I think the rewrites and the misdirection of the whole plot in that really just soured it for me. Anyway, I love him in his new Captain America suit. Go on. WandaVision was great, but Loki was even better. I think Loki was great. Now, this is what, I don't know about you, but a lot of people are approaching me and they're asking me, what Loki is all about, it's too complicated, I don't understand it, and these are novice fans. Novice fans is a huge... No, I'm serious.
No, I get it.
You get it. This is the core base. This is the $1 billion that they made with Endgame.
And
these
I think
people,
this is the big risk.
Titanium.
The big risk
is
introducing the multiverse.
Yeah.
And time travel are two of the most complex things that you could ever introduce, ever.
Absolutely.
And to make
and
that,
we're not all professors. We're not. We don't have your mindset. We're not as brilliant as you.
Real. To but to make that the main plot that they're going to be using for some of these movies moving forward, all it does is just add immense confusion.
Yes.
And I think introducing, you know, they had to bring another big bad in. They had to say, who's going to be the big villain that everybody's going to be fighting against and everybody's going to rally behind? Making it Kang the Conqueror, a time-traveling villain, man, that's a lot.
Yeah.
And to your point, Titanium, fans who just know the characters, now all of a sudden they're going to have to grasp the concept. Well, you know, there's Spider-Man, and then there's like 1,000 versions of Spider-Man.
Yeah.
You just don't know all 1,000.
Right.
And you're going to see a bunch of them. I'm like, wait a minute. Who's Peter Parker? Well, there's many versions of Peter Parker.
Yeah.
And it's just too confusing.
Yeah.
And I agree with you. It's a big gamble and a big risk, but here's the one, I think the one saving grace is we might see a lot of alternate versions and we might see some quote-unquote variants of these different characters, but the core characters are who are going to be what they're focusing on. The core actors and actresses who are playing those characters are the ones going to drive us through. So as we've talked about this, your fears around Spider-Man No Way Home. Yes, is it possible we'll see Andrew Garfield and Tobey Maguire and those versions of Spider-Man in the movie? Absolutely. Is it possible we see Spider-Ham and, you know, Spider-Gwen and
Noir.
All maybe.
Spider-Noir.
Spider-Noir, maybe. I doubt it, but maybe. But what they'll do is they'll take the Tom Holland version of Spider-Man, and he's going to be the one that we grasp onto.
He's the glue that will hold
the
this
glue,
multiverse
and all
together.
These other things will pop in and out, but he'll be the one that will carry on throughout.
Very busy. I've said it 100 times. I think that movie is very busy. It's being probably more than it should be, but I'm excited to see it. It's Marvel, and Marvel we trust, but I think you're right.
Well, let's kind of get into the you know what we're alluding to here with this Loki episode. So we saw at the end of episode 5, Sylvie and Loki had charmed the Eliath beast.
Which we find out is just a pet, protector.
Protecting the Citadel. They end up at the Citadel. They walk in.
The Citadel is just a giant castle on this giant rock floating in the
At the
vault.
End of time.
At the end of time.
At the end of time. And we see, you know, they go in, Miss Minutes, you know, says, hey, glad you guys made it. Guess what? He's really impressed, and he's about to reinsert you guys back into the timeline and give you everything that you want, and you guys can be there together. And they're like, that sounds too good to be true. Probably is. And they say, screw you. So they kick Miss Minutes to the curb. And then we get the massive, huge reveal, which we spent a lot of time talking about in the last episode, who's going to be the big bad, and it ends up, you know, the door opens, and it's Jonathan Majors, and he's playing a character in this show called He Who Remains.
Right. Which is different than the comics, correct?
No, that's exactly who, well.
It was a version of Kang?
No.
No.
In the comics, the person who started the TVA and who was living in the Citadel at the end of time was He Who Remains. It was a completely different character, but he was called He Who Remains, but it was not Kang the Conqueror or Nathaniel Richards or any version of that that character. But there was a He Who Remains.
Yeah.
That He Who Remains started the TVA.
Yeah.
That He Who Remains was the one that gave Kang's the version of Kang that became Immortus his authority over the TVA.
Got it.
So He Who Remains is a character from the comics. What MCU has done, if they've taken this Nathaniel Richards character, who we talked about several episodes ago in our show, is the most complex character in the history of Marvel Comics. But they gave a version of this Nathaniel Richards and He Who Remains kind of combined him into one character.
Agree, yeah, right.
Right, and so they did that. So that was the number one thing. But
so we see four statues and one statue is kind of broken on the floor there. Are those the original timekeepers?
We don't know.
You don't know, okay.
So to your point.
I know in the comics that there were four, and then He Who Remains ends up kicking one of them out.
We don't know. Yeah, okay. We don't know. And it whether it's meaningful or meaningless, we don't know at this point in time. Looked like the other three that were still standing looked very similar to the timekeepers that we had seen in the show up to this point.
Yeah.
So was the one on the ground, you know, the version of him?
Right.
Maybe. Who knows? And if it's important, we'll be told at some point in time. But I just thought it was interesting that, you know, he admits who he is. He is Nathaniel Richards. He's from the 31st century.
Yeah.
And
we got all the answers.
He answered every question. He is Nathaniel Richards from the 31st century. He discovered that there were multiple universes stacked on top of each other and all the other versions of himself from all those other universes all figured it out at the same time. And they ended up kind of coming together and sharing ideas and stories,
technology and knowledge,
and liking each other, and it was very cordial. But then a handful of them decided that that wasn't good enough. They wanted to like conquer new worlds, and they wanted to conquer new universes, and this ended up in this multiversal war. And all of a sudden, every one of those versions of him was now fighting against the other versions of that person to determine whose timeline was going to survive.
Right,
and that's what we thought. Or anticipate could be or should be or would have been Marvel Secret Wars, which we have sitting up here. So that was a story from back in the 90s.
One of the professor's comics are on the table, gentlemen.
It was the second iteration of Secret Wars in the Marvel comics, where these multiple universes, and at the time it was the Marvel 616 universe, the primary universe, and the Ultimates universe. So Marvel had basically created this new universe called Ultimates. And it was Ultimate Spider-Man, Ultimate X-Men, Ultimate Avengers. And they were able to kind of create new backstories for these characters and kind of revamp them a little bit. And they had two simultaneous like titles going on. You had Avengers and Ultimate Avengers. They were completely different in different universes. Well, they were fighting against each other to figure out who would survive, right? And that's what Secret Wars ended up being. They wanted to collapse that Ultimate Universe into the primary universe. Well, that's what we think that multiverse Secret War is going to... or was and could be again, and what he teased at. He basically said, so here's what happened. We had this big war, and I figured out that I had to find a way to end it. So he found this being, or this entity called Eliath, who fed on space and time. It ate space and time. That's what it did.
Yeah.
And he studied it, and he experimented on it, and he weaponized it. That's what he said.
Yep.
I weaponized it, and I used it to end this multiverse war.
Right.
And at the end, so Eliath was deployed and ate all these other universes and ate all these other variants. And all that was left was him and his universe, and said, okay, I need to now isolate my timeline and make sure that mine's the only one that survives, because if there's ever any other version of me, we're going to have a problem.
Yeah. Because some of the guys are worse than me.
Right. He's like, you know, some versions of me are okay, but other versions of me end up becoming these conquerors and rulers and all these other things. So that's when he created the TVA. Said, my timeline can be the only one that survives, because...
the sacred timeline.
Right. That's what he created, the sacred timeline. So we got all those answers. It was explained to us as clear as day. But then he offered a kind of a little quip to the Lokis, Loki and Sylvie. He said, look, I'm tired. I've been doing this for... a long, long time. Millions of years from what he was telling us. And he's like, this is a young man's game. I'm not motivated to do it anymore. And you guys have been brought here, and I think you guys can do it. So I'm going to put you guys in charge of the TVA. And you will keep a track of the sacred timeline. And now you're the ones doing that.
Well, he gave the two things, two choices. One, that, take over, run the TVA, or
kill me
and open up the multiverse. And ultimately, we'll be in multiverse war.
And I'll be back here.
We'll be back here again, because it'll all repeat itself.
Right. He basically says, you know, if you kill me, the multiverse will expand. There'll be, you know, never-ending versions of me. Those versions of me aren't as nice as I am. And ultimately, this multiverse war will happen again. And I'll be right back here again after I do exactly what I did before. So here's your decision. And
it's like an infinite time loop, right?
Right. And it was a huge, you know, decision for Loki and Sylvie. Sylvie wanted to just kill him. Said, screw it. He's ruined my life. He's taken everything away from me.
She doesn't trust him. He thinks he's lying.
And Loki's like, hey, hang on a second. I think he's telling the truth. If we do what he says, you know, we could be unleashing like bigger problems, and we could be in charge.
Yeah.
And it was a really good dichotomy of the two characters. You know, Sylvie is unable to trust anybody, and Loki is unable to be trusted by anybody.
Right.
And so they were like fighting against each other, and we did see a fight, right? Yeah.
And a kiss. And a pretty big kiss.
Ultimately a kiss, yeah.
I thought the fight was kind of cool. I thought it was...
Yeah, and you know, Loki didn't want to hurt her, and you know, was trying to stop her from killing him, and she was very, you know, hell-bent on killing him. And ultimately he said, look, I just want to make sure you're going to be okay. And she kissed him, and then she sent him back to the TVA.
Yeah.
And then she killed him. She killed Kang.
Yeah.
Well, not Kang, but He Who Remains. She killed him.
Yeah, she killed him.
Right?
Yeah.
But then, you know, we also got a couple other side story of the TVA. Agent B-15 exposes to the rest of the TVA that Judge Renslayer is not who she said she was.
She was just a teacher
who back in, you know, 2018 was a teacher in Franklin Middle School or whatever it is.
Roosevelt High School.
Right. And had, you know, come to the TVA and become, you know, a variant and a judge and been there for years after the fact. Convinced everybody that you know, we were fighting the good fight. Morbius.
Did it sound like she knew He Who Remains, like Kang?
No.
No, she doesn't know who he
is.
She knows he is pulling all the strings.
Well,
like
you saw Miss Minutes come back because she had asked for all the files on the creation of the TVA, and she came back and she was, and Miss Minutes said, "Oh, I've given you all the files you asked for," and she's like, "This isn't what I asked for," and she said, Miss Minutes told her, "Well, he thinks this will be more useful to you.
You have a lot of reading to do.
You have a lot of reading to do." So
cliffhanger.
She is off to find this person. She said, the only person who has free will is that person in charge.
Right.
And then Morbius confronts her, and he says he was going to prune her, and says, you know, we got to stop this. And she says, nope, I don't believe in this. I think that what we're doing here has a purpose, and I fully believe that. And he said, what about free will? And she says, well, the only one who has free will is the one in charge. And at the end, you know, he tries to prune her, and she overtakes him and says, I'm leaving. And he goes, where are you going? She says, to find free will.
Right.
So she's obviously going off to find who's in charge.
Yeah.
And as we've discussed in the past, Ramona Renslayer is a love interest of Kang the Conqueror in the comic books. Wouldn't surprise me if she goes and finds a version of Kang the Conqueror, maybe even the version that we see in Ant-Man and the Wasp. And ultimately hooks up with him, and they become some love interest or help each other out.
Power couple.
Right.
A time-wielding power couple.
Right.
That'd be cool. I'd be all right with that.
Yeah. So, that, I mean, huge reveals, huge stories.
Reveals.
And again, the big ending, which was also shocking and surprising, was Loki's back at the TVA after Sylvie zaps him back there. He's running around trying to find Mobius, ends up finding him, tells him what happened. And Mobius doesn't even know who he is, doesn't recognize him. Are you okay? You're an analyst. What floor are you on from? And then he looks over and sees a statue of the timekeeper in the hallway or in the big vestibule. And it's Kang the Conqueror in the Kang the Conqueror costume from the comic books.
Yeah, that was kind of cool. That was a huge reveal.
So do you think Sylvie zapped him back to the TVA and things changed? Or do you think she zapped him into a different reality that changed, that was changed when he got zapped back there?
I think it was a different reality that when he came back, it was a completely different reality because she had killed him.
But she hadn't killed him yet. She killed him several minutes after she zapped him back.
So it had to have been a different reality
where
Kang was the mastermind of all this.
Guess we'll see. And again, the big end credit scene.
Big end credit scene.
Loki will be back for season two. We knew this was already going to be a season two. We knew this was going to happen. We knew Loki was going nowhere.
Yeah.
But the TVA, it seems like the TVA and Loki will be back at it for season two. But oh my God, let's just list all the things that this show or this episode set up for the next year.
Oh,
year and a half.
Easily.
So this is setting up the reason why there is a multiverse.
Yep.
And why it's mad.
All those branches on the sacred timeline are different timelines.
Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness, he's fighting all these different things that are now happening in this crazy multiverse that was spawned by the actions of the two Lokis in this show.
Yeah.
Spider-Man No Way Home, The reason why these multiverses may be clashing and these different versions of Spider-Man and these different villains from different realities are now collapsing could be because of this show.
Yeah.
We know that Kang the Conqueror shows up in Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania, which is out next summer, yeah. Right? Right? So we know that's happening.
Yeah.
Crazy. Now, here's what it does tell me, though. And by the way, there's a rumor now that Loki will be showing up in Doctor Strange Multiverse of Madness.
I bet. That would make sense.
Makes sense.
Right?
And so Tom Hiddleston may be making an appearance in that movie.
And they can totally let that out now.
Right. And does that, you know, we always thought that Loki might be coming back for Thor Love and Thunder. I kind of doubt that. Like, how does that happen? Or why would that happen? Yeah. Right. So that may be doubtful, but.
But I hear Doctor Strange is going to be in Spider-Man No Way Home.
Oh, we know that for sure.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. We know. Well, that's happening in December.
Yeah.
And then we know Doctor Strange Multiverse of Madness is in February, March timeframe next year. Then we get Thor Love and Thunder in June.
Right.
And then I think Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania is in like September timeframe.
Yep.
Next year. So, I mean, all those movies, holy crap.
Yeah.
I mean, it's setting a lot of stuff up. And this multiverse, you know, craziness. Now, is it possible that season two of Loki happens between Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness and Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania?
Maybe, yeah.
So we might get it next summer about this time, like the July-August timeframe. We get that series kind of moving into the Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania show.
The studio's in fifth gear. I mean, they are cruising now.
Oh, yeah.
So they're back, if not more so, and they're cranking.
Well, the big tale will be if we hear some rumors of Loki season two filming later this year, then we know they're really pushing to get this show out before we get Ant-Man and the Wasp next summer.
Well, that'll be interesting.
Yeah.
I thought it was great. I did. Really, I liked it.
Not disappointing at all.
No. It answered all the questions you would want. It wasn't like WandaVision where the twists, you know.
They allude to Doctor Strange cameos. Yeah. They allude to Mephisto and none of it happens. So it goes back to what we talked about last episode, right? Two theories. We've got the Mephisto paradox, which is all the evidence leads towards one thing and they pull the rug out from under and say, no, that's not happening.
Not going to happen.
But we saw so much evidence that told us that Kang or a version of Kang or an iteration of Kang or something, you know, whether it's Immortus or Kang or Rama Tut or He Who Remains, we knew something was going to happen. And the only thing that told us it wasn't was Jonathan Majors coming out and saying, I'm not in that show.
Yeah.
I'm not making a cameo. And he just flat out lied.
Sure did.
Right? And no surprise.
Fine.
Right? Right?
Fine.
But we're surprised and pleasantly surprised that he was in the show.
Yeah.
So we got it. We got a version of Kang.
Acting.
You wanted to talk about that.
Yeah. I wasn't a fan of it. It was almost like he was a carny. Like he was a carnival kind of mastermind. Not really a villain mastermind or not really somebody.
You seem to meet him to be more cold and calculated and very put together.
Yes.
And more calculating.
Someone that could put this type of event together and structure it.
He seemed very aloof and very comedic and making jokes and making fun of people.
I would put him like Willy Wonka.
Right.
Like he was like acting like Willy Wonka. But now knowing that he was just a variant and there's other variants of him, we might see somebody acting completely different.
So Jonathan Majors is a good actor.
Yeah.
Number one. So what I think is he acted that role, this role, this way to differentiate it from the version of Kang the Conqueror he's going to be playing in Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania.
Okay.
So that version may be much more cold, calculated, put together.
Like a Thanos type evil.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And this version is a little more kind of like off the wall, kind of jumping back.
Quirky.
And forth. Quirky.
Jumping on the table,
and
eating the apple.
Maybe he's acting that way to kind of differentiate this version of him versus what he's going to be playing in other movies.
Yeah, a little goofy, a little Willy Wonka-ish, like a carnival sideshow guy, you know. Hey, step up to the scale, I'll guess your weight. You know, that kind of attitude. But you're right. You know, that's probably why he's acting that way, and because Kang is going to be completely different.
Yeah, could be.
Good.
But man, didn't disappoint us at all.
No.
And again, we think... And you mentioned this previously, I believe, that Kevin Feige came out and formally announced that Fantastic Four is going to be the last movie in Phase 4.
Correct.
And we assume that that movie is coming out in summer of 2023, so 2 years from now. So August, September timeframe, 2023 is when we're going to get that Fantastic Four movie based on the slate that we've already seen announced. That's kind of what's next. So if that's the final Phase 4 movie, is this where Fantastic Four movies where all of the Marvel characters are coming together to defeat this villain of Kang the Conqueror? Or is it just a ramp into Phase 5, which is really the setup for Secret Wars?
A lot to be answered, a lot of questions, and I don't know. I really don't. That's mind-blowing. Phase 5 is so far away. I'm just really looking for the first half of getting into Phase 4. You know, I'm excited.
Let's just break it down. The show was great.
Yep.
Tom Hiddleston crushed it.
Killed it.
Crushed it. Sylvia DeMartini crushed it. She was great.
I want to see her more.
Owen Wilson, fantastic.
Stole the show.
Yeah. And I really, literally can't wait for season 2 of this show.
Yeah.
And look, using this Disney Plus show to set up a lot of stuff that's happening in the movies going forward, how helpful is that to Marvel? I mean, just think about that. You're going to come out with a movie, and you might spend the first half hour of this 2 to 2.5 hour movie developing characters, introducing people that you don't know, introducing characters, right? You have to do that. Now, they just spent a whole entire Disney Plus series introducing characters. You don't have to do that in the movie.
Right.
It's brilliant. Yeah, it really is brilliant.
No, I agree with you. I thought it was great. I'm excited for it. It was one of my favorite Disney Plus shows. Again, my fear is that it's a very complicated subject matter. A lot of the novice, which is the bread and butter for Marvel as far as, you know, the film audience, the attendants are people that love the action and love superheroes. But when you get this complicated and you're bringing in characters like Kang,
you might be losing some people.
You might be losing some people. And that's my fear.
Yep.
So they need it. It's going to be very, I think Shang-Chi is very upfront, simple. You don't need to diagnose it. It doesn't take the professor's degree.
Is going to be so easy. And yeah. I think that might be one of the most successful movies we see from Marvel in years. I mean,
I think Spider-Man will do well because of Spider-Man, you know, Spider-Man.
But you said the plot concerns you and the busyness concerns you. Shang-Chi is going to be one of those that we're all going to be like, okay. Wow, that was just such a great standalone movie.
Yeah, it's a tournament movie about Kung Fu, the Battle of the Rings. I get it. It's simple. Oh, there's a weird dragon in an underwater cave. Okay, I get that. But it's simple enough that a lot of the novice will be like, cool shit.
I think the fans are going to love that movie.
I do too.
We'll look forward to it. I agree. All right, well, that's all we have. No questions this week, right? Mm-hmm. We're not doing a topic because we're already over an hour. So.
Ring the bell, Professor.
All right, well, let's go.
Ring the bell. Let's go.
That's it for us this week. We'll be back next week for more Super Talk. To get in touch with us on social media, of course, you can hit us up, supertalkpodcast@outlook.com or at supertalkpod on Twitter. Until then, stay super, everyone.